Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Recordings have been started. You may begin. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Policy and Implementation Working Group call on the 1st of October, 2014. On the call today, we have Carlos Raul, Greg Sacken, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Chuck Gohm, Alan Greenberg, Klaus Stoll, Ann Aikman-Scalise, and J. Scott Evans. We have apologies from Wolf Ulrich Melbourne, Olivia Kwame, Jonathan Frost, and soon ODDG. From staff, we have Marika Koning, Mary Wong, Steve Chan, Amy Bivens, Barry Cobb, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Chuck.
Thank you very much, and welcome everyone to our call. Does anyone have an update to their statement of interest? Okay. And do we have anyone on the call that is not in Adobe Connect?
This is Greg Chatton. I am not in Adobe Connect. I'm having trouble connecting.
So, okay. Thanks, Greg. And you know what to do. Just speak out if you want to get in the queue. And that will be fine. All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for joining. We have a pretty good turnout today. And the agenda is on the right in Adobe Connect for Greg's benefit. We're first going to hopefully finish our discussion on the draft GDD consensus policy implementation framework that we've been talking about. Then we're going to look at an updated working group work plan and hopefully get agreement that that's in good enough shape to present in our in-person meeting in LA and hopefully approve it there. Then we will review the implementation process graphic that Marika attached to the agenda email she sent. And the goal there is to make sure we all have the same understanding. Certainly we can still make some adjustments there, but we would like to leave this meeting with a common understanding of that. And then we'll talk about next steps and confirm the next meeting. Any questions or comments on the agenda? Okay, then let's go right to the GDD Consensus Policy Implementation Framework draft. We're going to skip down to Section 4. So, and each of us has control of the document in our screen. So if you can move down to Section 4 there, I think you can get all of Section 4 on well, I guess it depends on what size your monitor is, but get that there. J. Scott, you have your hand up, please.
Yeah, this is J. Scott Evans for the record. I just want to make sure that we're all clear, because I think I may be a little fuzzy on, you know, I see that we're giving our input here to a staff-created document about a staff process. And how do we see ourselves presenting this as part of our report to the community as one of the things we've considered and that we think it dovetails or jibes well with the things that we're recommending? I sort of just want to know how we are packaging this up within our own charter and charter questions and further recommendations.
Thank you very much, J. Scott, and I see Alan has his hand up. Go ahead, Alan, and then I'll go to Marika.
Well, my short answer is yes. I think you I think you described it exactly. What we're doing is trying to make sure that their process fits what we think we're going to ultimately recommend, and so that they are cognizant of what we're looking at to make sure their process as it evolves or as they do the fine details will fit well. So this is sort of a sanity check and an attempt to I'm trying to get the right word, essentially to make sure that their internal processes and what we're recommending for the policy process meshes well.
Thank you, Alan. Chuck again. Marika, your turn.
Yeah, this is Marika, and the thing that may hopefully become a little bit more clear as well when we get to item four, in which we try to draw kind of a picture, what I think from my or staff's perspective, is the overall implementation process. And the thing there, hopefully you can see quite well where indeed the staff part of that fits in, and as well which are those other pieces that this working group will still need to focus on, so that at the end of the day, indeed, all those dots and arrows all nicely fit together. So I think that exactly lines up with what you were talking about, Jay Scott. And I think it's something as well that we want to show, presumably, in initial reports, so that people do understand that it is a complete picture that we're trying to present, even though some of this work is indeed internal kitchen stuff on how we do some of the tasks that are assigned to staff as part of the implementation. It is part of this overall picture of how implementation works, and being able to communicate that and show that, I think, is an important part of the initial report.
Thanks, Marika. Chuck again. And I think it's reasonable to expect that we will need to revisit this at the after we've agreed on our recommendations to see if any adjustments need to be made. Again, the goal being to make sure we're syncing up both our recommendations and this process. Is that correct? Thank you, Marika. Appreciate that. And so now, to Jay Scott's question, though, I think we need to take it just a little bit further. This is Chuck speaking again. And that is that, how will this fit into our ultimate recommendations document? I suspect we can figure that out more officially later on, but I would think that we would at least make reference to the framework and report that we work together with the GDD team to sync up our proposed recommendations with that process. Alan, you're up.
Thank you. I don't think this fits into the recommendations unless we come to some irreconcilable difference with them that we think there's something there which clashes with what we're recommending, in which case we would have a recommendation to change it. But I think this is part of our analysis, part of our understanding of the overall process and issues. And I don't, if all goes well and we end up agreeing, then I don't think it's part of the recommendations, but it's part of the process that we have followed to make sure that what we're recommending as the way the GNSO goes forward on policy recommendations, on policy creation, will fit well with the environment it has to fit into. So it's not recommendations, but it's part of our groundwork. And although we didn't picture doing this at the beginning, I think this adds both credibility and a higher level of assurance that what we come out with will make sense.
Thank you, Alan. Chuck again, and I didn't mean to imply that it was part of our recommendations, but part of our final report to show that we synced up our recommendations with this process. And of course, that's what I meant by looking at it again after we finalize our recommendations, so that we make sure that they are indeed synced up, and any changes are made so that they correlate well. Cheryl, your turn.
Oh, thanks very much.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And by the look of it, if we're in order of things. Yep.
I see two hands that come up, and I skipped over Anne. I apologize, Cheryl. Anne, you're up.
Thanks, Chuck. It's Anne. I see why we might want to say, hey, this isn't our recommendation because we're not the ones that came up with it. But given that we're having input into it, and given that it's our charter to make a recommendation for an implementation framework, I guess I'm kind of back to the question that Jay Scott posed. You know, all this work has already been done by staff, and it seems to me kind of silly in a way if we're going to, you know, separately consider and write our own implementation framework and say, well, we disagree with staff here, we disagree with staff there. It seems like in terms of the, you know, cooperative process that we ought to be in sync with staff, and they've found a need to produce this, and it's in our charter to produce the identical deliverable. And so it seems to me that we have to be kind of working together somehow. Separately, I made a late-breaking comment via email that I think that this document could benefit from reference to the bylaws. For example, you know, in roles and responsibilities, when we talk about creating an implementation plan that is the responsibility of staff, and I think it's contained already in item B under roles and responsibilities. And then there's a reference earlier to whether GNSO creates an IRT or not, and those things are covered in Section 10 of Annex A of the bylaws. In addition, when you get down to third-party service providers in the roles and responsibilities section under I, the retaining of external experts is covered in the ICAM bylaws under Article 11, Section 1, external expert advice. And I just think that in terms of organizational governance, when a document like this comes out, it should be referring to, you know, the authority for these definitions and roles so that things are done, you know, so that people don't just think, well, third-party service providers, here's how it works. Well, no, there are additional provisions that apply, and they're in the ICANN bylaws. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. And I don't want to try to speak for Jay Scott, but I think his question is valid in the sense that we need to we will ultimately need to see how this fits into our final report. And I think that's what part of what he was getting at. Jay Scott, do you want to comment further on that?
Sure. This is Jay Scott for the record. I just wanted to make sure that as we wrap up our discussions, that we had a clear sort of consensus understanding of what the role of this exercise has been and how it will figure in, because I didn't want any misunderstanding when we went to do the final report and final recommendations of how this fit into that. I think that what I've heard from both Cheryl in the chat and from Alan and from you, Chuck, is that my understanding is correct, that it would be just part of maybe the background document or something to say that, you know, we've made these recommendations, but in doing our work, we also looked at this, and we believe that our work is complementary to that, and make sure that that's transparent, and that it was shared with us by staff. We had discussions with it so that these weren't, both of these processes or these several processes weren't looked at in a vacuum. And I just wanted to make sure that we understood, because so often we finish and then we go to do the recommendations or we go to do the report and there's a misunderstanding of how it fits together. And I just wanted to clear that up front.
Thank you very much, Jay Scott. I think it demonstrates, too, that we're not, as you said and as others have said in the chat, that we're really not doing this in a vacuum. We're trying to look at the whole picture, and it all ties together. So I think that shows completeness. Cheryl, I like what you said in the chat, but let me turn it over to you and let you say it in voice.
Why, thank you, sir. Cheryl Langdonor for the record, and I'm not going to say it again in voice because you can all read it in the chat, but I'm very glad I came after Jay Scott because he's picked up on just about everything I needed to say anyway. But one point that is left is that I think one of the things I found useful, not only does clarifying this now rationalize why we're looking at it, and also why we've spent considerable time looking at it and working with staff to ensure there is a clear understanding of where we have minor concerns with language or clarity in terms, but also that staff have been very quick to, oh yes, we can change that, we can edit that, we can make that fit better. So I thought the most important, one of the most important things for me through this process has been the understanding of the rationale that staff had in the first place for putting this together. And I think there may be a place in our report to note that, that the rationale for staff doing this to I'm not going to paraphrase them, we can go back or they can write their own sentences, but I think the reason that this staff document was put together is important, and we should certainly respect and probably even reflect that in our own work. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Aubrey's next, and then it'll be Marika. Go ahead, Aubrey.
Hi, thank you. Aubrey speaking. I find myself in a weird position of agreeing with most everything, looking at it differently. I tend to see this as, in a sense, existing practice. And I see it as existing practice that has not only over the last year taken into account things that people were saying, but explicitly in the last couple weeks, taking in some of the revisions and some of the requests we were making. And so I see this at the moment as having gotten to a stage of being beyond just this is current staff practice as documented. This is sort of current staff practice as and massage. Now, that's similar to what Cheryl said. But in doing that and in applying our definitions to that, I think we've done more than just reference external work, but in a sense, we've brought this in as part of our work. Now, that's not to say we can't come in with something different. It's existing code, it's existing practice that we may decide to suggest changes to based on everything. And in fact, one of the nice things about it is it's one of the few times here, just not realizing it, that we've got existing practice that is going on that serves as an example to us of, oh, following existing practice, we found this gap in the process. We need to work on that. Or using a, you know, existing process, we find that, you know, item 4 doesn't match the principles that we've been putting, and therefore we want to. But so I guess I don't quite see it as that other to what we're doing, but really feel that we have brought it in as kind of a base that we're working with in addition to everything else that we've been creating. Thanks.
Thank you, Aubrey. This is Chuck, and in case you didn't see it there, I think it was Cheryl and Ann had check marks of agreement and as you were talking. let's go now to Marika.
This is Marika. I just wanted to note again that in relation to what the charter question specifically asks is a framework for implementation related discussions associated with GNSO policy recommendations. And again, I think when we get to item 4, hopefully it will become a little more clear, at least I think how we envision those policy or those implementation-related discussions, what those specific questions are or where, you know, the working group, you know, may see fit to develop specific recommendations around that. Of course, you know, again, envisioning that those align with the implementation framework that, you know, that you see on the screen, because indeed it's a complete picture that we're trying to put forward as a two parts will need to align and need to work together. And I think, as several have said as well, you know, we're here as well in doing that in a collaborative way, because we see as well that this needs to be, all those pieces need to fit well together. Otherwise, you know, it wouldn't work in practice, of course. On the bylaw question, we're happy to have a look at that and see where it may be relevant or how to refer to that. So we'll take that back and have a closer look at that item.
Thank you very much, Marika. And I think this is a good time to go right to item four in the draft framework. By the way, this is Chuck speaking again. And what I'm going to do, first of all, is ask Amy if she wants to give a very brief overview of Section 4 there. We're not going to go through it in detail unless somebody specifically requests that. But, Amy, if you could take 2 or 3 minutes and just give us an overview of Section 4, I would appreciate it.
Sure, absolutely. This is Amy. So item 4 of the framework document, we walked through it a little bit the first time we talked about it, but basically it sets out some estimated time frames for the implementation process, starting with the beginning and kind of how the services side works and monitors the policy development process through the ultimate implementation of a policy. And so the first phase, we refer to it as staging. It's just monitoring the policy development process and preparing and participating as needed in the policy development process. And once a PDP is complete and the board approves consensus policy recommendations, that's when we really move over toward the planning phase and get started with the actual implementation process. And at that point, we draft an implementation plan, draft a policy, or come up in some cases with draft policy language if that's not already recommended by the PDP. And through that phase, we expect generally for that to take about 2 to 4 months. You'll see further back in the document, it goes into more detail about everything that's involved there. It includes, in most cases, recruiting the implementation review team and consulting with various departments internally and, in some cases, third parties as well. The next phase is the analyze phase, which we also estimate can take 2 to 4 months. Sometimes it takes longer, sometimes it takes less, and that includes working with the IRT, discussing the draft policy language and the implementation plan. And then after consulting with the IRT, eventually posting draft language for public comment. And then at that point, that's when we move over to the design phase, and that's really finalizing the implementation after the initial public comment period. And coming up with a policy effective date, and that can take anywhere from 2 to 6 months, sometimes more even. It just depends on how complicated and involved a project is. And then moving over on into the implementation and support phase, including doing outreach and doing things like updating the ICANN website, doing webinars, FAQs, working with compliance, and then eventually turning over the policy to compliance when a policy is actually deployed for compliance to start monitoring. So, do you guys have any questions about that?
Just before we go there, Amy, this is Chuck. A couple things in the chat that I wanted to respond to. First of all, am I coming across louder now? I guess I came across kind of softly for a while. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, good. And then, Stephanie, I don't know that I can answer your question or not. When I have had that happen in the past where I get kicked out of Adobe Connect, I think it was usually on my end, but if anybody has any other suggestions on that, please put it in the chat for Stephanie's benefit, because apparently she's repeatedly getting kicked out of Adobe. So mine's okay so far today, but I have had that experience in the past. Now, thank you very much, Amy, for doing that. Does anyone have any questions, not only about what Amy said in her overview, but about this Section 4 or any of the wording in it or something, any suggestions for staff, questions, thoughts, whatever it what may be, that would be this would be the time to introduce that. Okay, Ann, you're first.
Yes, thanks, Chuck. I wanted to raise a topic of issues that arise after, you know, this process has been followed. Because we've seen a kind of a rolling situation in relation to issues that come up later. And I wonder if the implementation framework that staff has devised here should actually allow for the fact that there's kind of a continuing dialogue when new issues arise, and if the timing should somehow account for that.
Ann, this is Chuck. Is that a question for Amy or Karen?
Maybe for Karen. When we talk about implement in stage four here, consensus policy framework in Roman numeral four, and we talk about implement, realization of an executed plan, and you know, does our graphic reflect the reality that we go back because new issues arise, and we, which is something that this working group is, you know, is tasked with, I think, and was created to try to answer. And so I wonder if staff's implementation draft recognizes that that occurs and how to accommodate that process.
Thank you.
So for Karen, I guess. Thank you.
Yeah, Karen's got her hand up, so let's let Karen respond.
All right. Hi, Ann. Thank you, Chuck. And this is Karen Lentz speaking. So, Ann, we've tried to account for that in a few places. You know, there are always, you know, new issues or unforeseen, you know, complexities that need to be addressed in an appropriate way. So, you know, one of the ways that we've tried to do that is actually in the very beginning when we're creating an implementation plan and before we even convene the IRT for the first time, we've already gone through and identified here are some things that are, you know, unclear or where we see a gap in either where there might need to be more discussion. So for the, you know, the first part of our exercise is to identify those at the very beginning. That's also one of the things that we, you know, hope will be clarified as a result of defining the role of the IRT and how they should, how the IRT should function, because that's also one of the things that we see the IRT being valuable in is either identifying, hey, this wasn't really discussed before, but it's a pretty significant issue, or, you know, we've gone down this road and it doesn't seem to be, you know, in line with, you know, what was discussed previously. So let's, you know, backtrack and have another discussion. You know, so they play a role in that. And then, you know, finally, as you'll see in the framework, it is a framework, and we haven't, you know, we've reflected in our principles that we want to, you know, have a means to where things can go back to the GNSO, or discussions can happen with the GNSO where there is some new issue or, you know, policy question that needs to be addressed. We don't really have guidelines for doing that. We just know that it should happen, and that there should be a mechanism for it, which, you know, is something that I think this group was interested in providing some, or tasked with providing some definition as to how that might work. So, you know, the framework is a framework, and it allows for us to, you know, if there's a process developed that would, you know, sort of formally allow us to do that consultation to deal with new issues, then that's something that we would follow. Right now, what's in the framework is just, you know, the intention to do that without the you know, without a defined formal set of steps for how that happens.
Thank you very much, Karen. Marika, your turn.
Yeah, and this is Rick. And again, I think that may become more clear when we start looking at the implementation process graphic, which I think tries to show some of, indeed, those linkages between the implementation review team as well as the GNSO Council, but I think also asks, indeed, some of the key questions that, at least from my perspective, I think are really the heart of what the working group should be focusing on, or where, indeed, currently, little guidance exists. And those are, indeed, the questions of, how does an implementation review team decide or identify that there is, indeed, an issue that needs to be addressed? Is that one person raising their hand? Is that a consensus decision? Is that a unanimous decision? And if that happens, how does that go back to the council? And what does the council do with it? What process does the council have or should it have to deal with those issues? And then after that as well, how does that go back again to staff? And what happens in the meantime if a flag is raised? How does that conversation go with staff on, for example, other elements that are being implemented? And I think the current wording, at least in the PDP manual, is to the extent that the council can go to the board and tell the board that they have certain issues with the way implementation is going or certain concerns that they would like to have addressed. And I think it's then for the board that indeed tell staff to either stop or work out a solution. But I think it also notes that some of the implementation work can go on in that interim time frame when a solution is being sought. So, again, there's some general guidance that I think is currently in the PDP manual, but really the details, I think that is what is currently missing and where, indeed, this working group will play a crucial part to work those aspects out and how that then interlinks to, indeed, the consensus policy implementation framework as we have on the screen here.
Thank you, Marika. Anne, it's your turn.
Yes, thanks, Chuck. I think I agree with a lot of that. A couple of things that I think should be noted in the implementation framework document, though. First of all, IRT isn't always mandatory. Under the bylaws, GNSO Council makes that decision. I think, it's a great, obviously, great resource for staff. We've had, at least one situation I know of where probably the IRT wrapped up too soon, and how long an IRT should remain in existence for consultation on changes is, kind of a big question in relation to this framework. And then lastly, what Marika said about the work that we're doing about what happens when you have new issues arise and some people think they're policy and some people think they're implementation, it kind of seems as though, there should be some recognition of that in the staff framework that we're working on that or that that's a process that still needs to be defined or because staff doesn't work in isolation, from the work that is being done in the community with working groups. We recognize that these issues are here, and yet they're not reflected, that, hey, the staff knows we're working on this and that, they'll hopefully be getting some community input on that too. So those are my, I guess, three comments on the overall effect of the document.
Thanks, Anne. This is Chuck. And as you may not have been able to follow all the chat that was going on while we were talking, but you may want to scroll back and look at that. As several people pointed out, the whole issue of IRTs, whether they're mandatory and so forth, and will be things that we're going to be considering when we get to specific recommendations in the not too distant future. So your points are well taken. As far as whether we put the, some comments that we're still working out in this document, I don't know that we're at a stage where they're putting this document, the framework, out for public comment, but we will eventually do that in our initial report and final report. If there is need to get some specific feedback before then, of course, we have the option of doing that. Karen, go ahead.
Thank you, Chuck. This is Karen. I just to Ann's point about acknowledging in the framework that this working group is engaged in some of these discussions. There is later in the document where it talks about engaging the IRT. It says the role of the working of IRT is also actively under consideration by the P&I working group, and the recommendation coming out of that effort that are approved by the GNSO Council will be factored in here. I think there might be a note like that somewhere else as well, but we did try to, account for the fact that some of this is, actively under discussion. Thanks.
And Karen, Ann asked a question in the chat there about whether there is intention for this implementation framework to be put out for public comment. I don't know if you can respond to that or not.
Well, our first goal with it was to, have a discussion with this working group. I think, we could at some stage put it out for comment, but we hadn't, we didn't have a specific plan to do that.
Thank you, Karen. Chuck speaking again from my own personal perspective, and I think that ultimately, it would be certainly put out for public comment as it relates to our final report. So at a minimum, it would be that. Again, if we see a need sooner, that's something we could do. Until we finalize some of our specific recommendations, I think it would be the public comment would be a little bit limited, because if they don't have the full context of what the Policy and Implementation Working Group has recommended, it may raise as many questions as it answers. Marika, you're up.
This is Marika, and I think Chuck exactly made my point. And as Karen said, I think we haven't really decided or already spoken about if, when it should go for public comment. And maybe I'm talking out of turn as well, but at least from my perspective, I think it would make much more sense to indeed have this as part of the working group initial report, so people can indeed see the complete picture. Because I think if we would put it out as a separate document, indeed we would get exactly some of the questions that, you are all raising now, like how does this relate to the IRT? Where does the GNSO Council come in? What happens if a policy issue is identified as part of these conversations? And I think it's really important to show that overall picture, so it's really clear for people, where everything fits and how everything is intended to work, and comment on that aspect. And as said, we're happy as well to look at whatever comes in and adjust as needed or as necessary. Because I said it before as well, it's we're really keen as well to make sure that all the pieces align, as we're all in this together. So,
thank you, Marika, and this is Chuck. Before I give it back to Ann, I'd like everybody to look ahead as well to Section 5. It really, just like Amy said, provides quite a bit more detail. And there have been some edits made in there based on some input that I think I gave some time ago. But look at that, because we probably can only spend about five more minutes on the GDD draft framework because this probably will be our last meeting for our in-person meeting. There's a couple other things we need to take care of today in this call. So that said, any comments that anybody has, after I give the mic to Ann, on sections 4 or 5 that might be helpful for not only the GDD team but also to ourselves, please be prepared to make those shortly before we move to talk about the revised work plan. Ann, it's your turn. And you took your hand down. Okay. That's
no, I'm sorry. I just said. Got off mute. I might be anticipating a work plan discussion a bit, but although I definitely agree with Marika that all of this is interrelated, and so we want to have everything that's put out for public comment be consistent and not raise a lot of unnecessary questions. I'm also concerned that we don't want to wait till a final report to get community input, because although there's essentially a core group who's trying to work here every week and trying to work and cooperate with staff. I would hate to get the stage of final report not having had any, you know, objective third eyes on this material. So just a comment that I think that some of these things, including, you know, this framework, really should be, you know, in the form of a preliminary report that, I mean, I personally like to get it on the Marrakesh Express, but I don't know how others feel about that.
Thanks, Anne, and I think that's going to happen. We've talked about the idea, and when we get to the work plan, we'll look at this a little bit more, and maybe it's best to do that. But also, let me recommend that, or remind everyone that is representing a group of stakeholders that the hope is that all of us that are doing that, myself included, will regularly keep your group informed of what's happening and get their feedback on elements of things that we're discussing, and especially those where you think they may have particular concerns. So that's an ongoing responsibility for all of us that are representing groups. But let me just very quickly say, are there any more comments or questions on the GDD framework, including Section 4 and 5, before we move to the revised work plan, which will address part of what Anne was just talking about? Okay, not seeing any. And let's, if we can bring up the revised work plan, we will go to that. And I'm going to ask Marika if she would do a quick overview of this. This has been out for people to look at for a couple days at least, so we won't go through it item by item, but certainly want to have any input that anyone has on the work plan. Some edits have already been provided based on online feedback, and we can make more. The goal after this meeting today, or by the end of the week at least, because for people who are not on the call, we'll allow them to provide any feedback they have on the work plan. Our plan then is to present the revised work plan in our working group in-person meeting in L.A., and after that, again, having discussion on it, and then approving it in that meeting. So, again, understanding that the work plan will change again. Okay, it's a very living document, but to the best of our knowledge, in our meeting in Los Angeles, we will approve the work plan as we best can at that point in time. So let me just allow Marika to give a quick overview, and while she's doing that, you can also glance through it, and I'll open up for discussion after that. Marika, please.
Thanks, Chuck. So this is Marika. So indeed, what you see on the screen is a revised work plan. As you'll note, it has taken a different shape and format as we've moved away from the Excel sheet, you know, which we basically set up in that way as I think when we started out, and we were assuming that some of the activities, you know, may happen in parallel, and you know, we envisioned possibly some sub-teams. But as we have moved away from that, I thought it would make more sense to actually have it in a Word document, as it's easier to see on the screen and easier to print probably as well. So basically what it does is it sets out the work, or the main work, between here and the Marrakesh meeting, which I think we've set out, or at least I think we discussed last week, that is in principle our target date for the publication of an initial report. And so the work plan as well assumes that when we're looking, and I think, again, we'll come back to when we go to item four, that we'll probably take the four or the three remaining charter questions together on the consideration, as they all relate to discussions as part of the implementation process, and as they seem to be very closely aligned, you know, having gone through the GDD framework and as well looking at the graphic, they seem to be very intertwined, so it seems to make more sense to take those together instead of dealing with those separately while we're probably just, you know, redoing a lot of the conversation. So the idea is to do that and work through that in the meetings that we have between now and the publication deadline. And you know, one of the paths for the group would then, of course, be to identify what are those specific issues that we need to be talking about. And you know, we've made a first attempt in the graphic to identify some of those questions that I think, at least from a staff perspective, may need to be considered. But, of course, it doesn't mean that there are no others or that some of those may need to be reworded or rephrased. In the meantime, in parallel, of course, there's still as well the work ongoing in relation to, I believe it's Charter Question 1, in relation to the different processes that we've spoken about. You know, we're working on some more detailed manuals for each of those that we hope to share as well with you after the LA meeting for review. And then basically that takes us to hopefully the preparation of an initial report by the end of this year for your review. And in that, of course, we aim to bring all the pieces of work together. You know, first of all, of course, all, you know, the templates we've developed, discussions we've had, you know, incorporating the draft recommendations that we hopefully have by that stage, as well, you know, the information that we've spoken about today, and you know, basically package that so that, you know, the community can see very well, you know, what the working group has thought about and where we're basically at that stage and be able to put it out for public comment. Although maybe Marrakesh may sound very far away, it is actually pretty close, and the publication deadline for the meeting is the 19th of January. So take into account as well that, you know, there's probably a break in between the Christmas period where, you know, there may be less meetings or less work done. It will require your commitment from the working group members to review documents and raise comments and issues on the mailing list, because as you can see as well from the work plan, it really assumes that topics that people want to talk about are raised in advance of meetings, so that those basically dictate the agenda for meetings, and it assumes that, you know, if no issues or questions are raised on documents that are being put out, that people are comfortable with those as they are. I think, as we've discussed before as well, of course, you know, perfect can be the enemy of the good. You know, I think at some point, you know, the working group may still want to do more work or, you know, consider things further, but I think at some point you may want to consider when is the moment that you can say, okay, well, at least feel comfortable that this is something we can share with the community, even though it's not completely finished, even though we may have, you know, found some areas where we will need to do some more work or where we specifically would like some input on, but at some point it's probably, you know, worth to get that community feedback before everything is really, you know, set in stone, so that will still allow you to tweak or you know, direct a little bit the course that the working group is going on, depending on the comments received. So basically as well, like I've tried as well to incorporate a little bit what may be the next steps after receiving or posting the initial report. Of course, it would be a discussion then at the Marrakesh meeting to get community input. You know, public comment forum would run in parallel and beyond that meeting, and then I would anticipate that, you know, the working group would have a couple of meetings to review those comments and revise its report as it sees fit or needed. And of course, this is, you know, this is just a guess at this stage, because it all depends on you know, how many comments we'll receive or how many open issues there are still remaining to discuss. So at least at this stage, it would tentatively foresee that the working group may be able to have a final report ready by the mid of April. So that's it.
Thanks, Marika. And certainly we have a little bit of time for some comments now on this, but also for those that would like to look at it more thoroughly, if you haven't already and want to provide comments, if you can provide those by the end of this week, that would be helpful so that we can have a version of this ready to go for our before the meeting in LA, so that people we can distribute it in advance of that. In light of that, and while people are thinking whether they have comments or questions on this, hopefully you have a copy of it so that if we don't leave it up on screen, we can jump to another chart or a diagram that Marika sent around that relates pretty closely to this. And I want to reinforce what Marika said. We've got a lot of work to do in the next 3 months. So hopefully everybody can be diligent about doing that, because we're getting to the point where now we're going to start formulating recommendations And that's really the key deliverable, the deliverables that we're going to produce. And so it's a really, really critical time frame, and especially considering that we have until the 19th of January to have at least a first cut of those so that we can get lots of public input on our initial report to include everything we've talked about so far. I think we've laid a really good foundation for doing that, and I think that will facilitate our work, but it will still take a lot of efforts on our part. So that said, Marika, do you want to tell people what's on the screen now and describe that for them and talk about how it relates to our work plan? If you do that, please, I would appreciate it.
Thanks, Chuck. So this is Marika. So basically what you see on the screen is my attempt to translate what I think we've been talking about, you know, and I think I've been referring to as you know, the puzzle that needs to come together and you know, the complete picture of how implementation would look, you know, hopefully after we're done as well, or it identifies at least those areas, I think, that need to be filled or those gaps that need to be filled in. So basically, you know, please don't see this as a flow chart. It's really more of a graphic, a picture. So basically at the top, what it tries to show is a little bit the steps that currently happen and you know, when something moves into implementation. So basically, you know, the board adopts the recommendation, direct staff to you know, go in and develop an implementation plan. You know, we form an internal team that coordinates the handover from you know, the policy team that has been supporting the PDP working group to the GDD team that will be supporting the implementation part, and we start working on the proposed implementation project plan, which basically outlines you know, the timing and the different steps per the framework we've shared with you. So basically once we have that in place, we would share that with the implementation review team, and the implementation review team then interfaces with the council as necessary. So if you look below, it's kind of from the third box to going into the more detail of that specific conversation. So on the right-hand side, you see then you know, the implementation project plan that we would share. We basically have you know, those elements that we've described in the framework and follow those steps. There's the interaction with the implementation review team, and the implementation review team has a link with the GNSO Council. And then you know, there's as well probably a link between the GNSO Council and the board you know, if and when needed. So basically what I've tried to do as well is, and that's what you see in the orange boxes, is trying to identify, so what are the missing pieces from this picture? So what are where do we need further details in order to have indeed all those pieces connected together and a complete understanding of, you know, what would happen in which situation and who is responsible for what? So maybe starting on the right-hand side, and I think it's something that we flagged as well in the discussion on the framework, is, you know, in each of these phases, now, you know, we need to determine if, how, and when the IRT is involved and how does that consultation with staff take place. And, you know, if there is specific guidance needed beyond, you know, what we currently do. I think as most of you know, in certain cases there are, you know, monthly calls or calls every 2 weeks where we share an agenda, where we walk through the plan, you know, share documents. You know, is there further guidance needed on that or not? I think that's the first one of the things to consider. Then in relation to the implementation review team, you know, I think as we already raised as well in the chat is, you know, should these be mandatory? Currently, they're optional. You know, should a recommendation be that these are actually mandatory or these are, you know, standard practice and only if the council specifically directs that no implementation review team should be created, then there is none. Also, you know, how are IRTs expected to operate? You know, what is their decision-making methodology? You know, currently, it's a group of people that comes together, you know, to interact with staff, but of course, it doesn't have a traditional working group model whereby you have a chair who sets the agenda, you know, a decision-making methodology. So that currently doesn't exist. You know, is that needed? And if so, how should that look? Are there additional mechanisms that are needed to have those implementation-related discussions? Because, for example, now, you know, the interaction is really with the implementation review team. And I think most of the times as well, once we get really to the end phase of, you know, the implementation, then I think staff typically puts it out as well for public comments to share with the broader community. You know, is that sufficient or should there be other mechanisms foreseen by which interaction with, you know, the broader community takes place beyond the implementation review team? Then I think there's as well the question of how does the interaction between the implementation review team and the GNSO council take place? And there, for example, a recent thing we've started doing is, or the council has started doing, is actually having a council liaison appointed to an implementation review team. Like they also have two PDP working groups where, you know, potentially that liaison could serve as a kind of, you know, messenger between the IRT and the council. But again, it would also ask the question, like, when does the liaison know when they need to go and you know, put out the red flag? Is that, you know, one person in the IRT doesn't like something or doesn't agree? Is that a group decision? So again, those are some of the questions that may need further clarification. And then you have the council aspect of that. You know, if issues indeed then come back to the council, what processes should the council have or processes for addressing implementation or policy-related issues? And again, you know, what role does the board play in that, in addressing those implementation concerns that may be flagged to the council and may be addressed? So as I said, I think these are you know, basically some of the ones that at least came you know, to my mind when trying to draw up this picture. I'm sure there are others or there may be further details that we want to add to either each of these. But I think the idea is really to try to, as well, you know, show visually where I think the focus of the working group should probably be in completing the overall picture of how implementation should work in practice, you know, looking at, I think, some of the principles we've identified at the outset, as well as looking at some of you know, what we've identified in practice where are currently gaps and no guidance in existence.
Thank you very much, Marika. And as everyone is probably fully aware, we're running out of time very quickly. But we have two hands up, and so let me ask them to be brief. But Anne, you're first. Are you on mute, Anne?
I'm sorry. My question is about, it's a great chart. Thank you. My question is about the box where these guidance processes that we've already charted fit. And it looks to me as though in the middle there where we have GNSO implementation review team and then there's the third box on the right says what additional mechanisms, if any, to implementation-related discussions should be foreseen. Is that the box where our guidance processes go, or is it some other box? Just trying to understand how it all fits together, and I, you know, that's the question.
Good question, Anne. Marika, do you want go ahead and respond to that, please?
Yeah, this is Marika. I think, you know, at this stage, at least the process we've been talking about is something completely separate. Then those are really, you know, additional mechanisms that the council has as its availability to deal with questions that, you know, may come from the board or input that they want to provide to certain questions. However, I think if you look at the box right underneath the council, that talks about what processes are or is to be used for addressing implementation policy-related issues. And I think there, indeed, the question is, do some of the processes that we've identified, would they also work for this specific scenario, where the council indeed identifies an implementation or a policy question coming out of implementation-related conversations, does that same process or one of those processes also apply to that? Because you need to take into account that I think the processes as we've designed them currently, they all go back to the board. While here, presumably, if it's an implementation-specific item, maybe it would go directly to staff, or maybe not. Maybe it would go to the board. So I think that is indeed something that you know, the group would need to discuss or think about. As I said, you know, the other box on what additional mechanisms, that is really more talking about, you know, beyond talking to the GNSO implementation review team and the council, should there be any kind of broader consultations that take place in relation to implementation plans or questions that may arise?
Okay, and keep in mind that these are decisions we're going to make where it fits, where each of the new processes fit and so forth. So this helps us see where we need to get to and the questions we need to ask and answer in the next couple months. Alan, your turn.
Thank you. And this isn't a question, so we don't have to have an answer. Amir in the chat said that Marika's presentation was awesome. That's not a word I generally use, but I think I agree in this case. I hope we will capture when we get the transcript, because Marika raised a whole slew of issues that we need to think about as we go forward. And it was like they talk about proverbially trying to drink from a fire hose, but there were a lot of issues as she was talking. One of them struck me that I don't think we've ever discussed is that if a PDP working group comes to a recommendation, but there wasn't unanimous support for it, whether it was just grudging support or actual disagreement, the IRT is a potential place where you can try to get a second kick at the can and, you know, make sure the implementation goes the way you really wanted it to as opposed to what it said. So things like how do we run an IRT, if indeed these are contentious issues, not everyone working together as a team, are going to be really interesting things we need to look at. So thank you, Marika.
Thank you very much, Alan, and thanks to everyone. I know we're a little bit over time. We'll wrap it up really in a couple minutes here. We need to talk about next steps. First of all, with regard to this chart and with regard to the GDD framework, if you have any more comments, and if staff would please send out a message to the whole list requesting people not on the call to also provide any feedback they have, understanding that nothing we have right now is final. We'll have additional opportunities to refine and improve, change, and so forth. But if we could, by the end of this week, get any additional feedback on the list, suggestions, questions, whatever, so that we're pretty well prepared going into the RLA meeting and with both of these documents, that would be very helpful. Now, with regard to next week, people, especially those that aren't nice and relatively close like me, for once I have an hour and 15-minute flight to the meeting in L.A., which will be nice for me, but I know for a lot of you that's not the case. You'll have longer flights and so forth. So we're assuming, and we know that Marika and Mary are both traveling next Wednesday, that we will not have a meeting next week. If there are no objections to that. So our next meeting will be our in-person meeting in L.A., and also there will be a review for the council, a 30-minute review for the council on Saturday morning at 11 in L.A. If any of you are there, then you're welcome to join us in that session. Those sessions are open to everyone, not just the council, not just working group leaders and so forth, so everyone's welcome. Now, logistical thing, everything was awesome about your chart, Marika, except for one thing. Apparently the white font is hard to read, and I agree. So we may want to change the font of that to black, something that makes it a little, especially on screen. I have to print these things off and look at them in a hard copy to be able to read them very effectively, and I have a fairly big monitor. So that's just a minor point that we can fix. Any questions, comments before I adjourn? Thank you very much, everyone. A very productive meeting. I think we're getting down to where we really start doing we're very close to starting to make specific recommendations, and I believe that everything we've done to this point really lays a very good foundation that should facilitate that work. So with that said, and not seeing any hands or hearing anyone, Jay Scott, you're up.
No, I was trying to hit agree.
Thank you.
Sorry, that's not comment, that's incompetence.
Okay. So thanks a lot. Thanks to everyone. Great meeting, good participation today. Hope to see most of you, if not all of you, in L.A., but remember there will be remote participation if you can't attend in L.A. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chuck. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
This now concludes today's meeting. All lines may disconnect at this time. Thank you.